Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, text number 40. Is that right? Yeah, 40. Translation, which is quite long. O Lord, O personify three worlds, Father of the three worlds, O strength of the three worlds, in the form of the Vamana incarnation, O three-eyed form of Nrisimhadev, O most beautiful person within the three worlds, everything and everyone, including human beings, and even the Daitya demons and the Danavas, is but an expansion of your energy. O supremely powerful one, you have always appeared in your forms as the various incarnations to punish the demons as soon as they become very powerful. You appear as Lord Vamanadev, Lord Rama, and Lord Krishna. You appear sometimes as an animal like Lord Boar, and sometimes a mixed incarnation like Lord Nrisimhadev and Lord Harigriva, and sometimes as an aquatic like Lord Fish and Lord Tortoise. Assuming such various forms, you have always punished the demons and Danavas. We therefore pray that your Lordship appear today as another incarnation, if you so desire to kill the great demon Ritrasura. Purport. There are two kinds of devotees known as Sakama and Akama. Pure devotees are Akama, whereas devotees in the upper planetary systems, such as the demigods, are called Sakama, because they still want to enjoy material opulence. Because of their pious activities, the Sakama devotees are promoted to the higher planetary systems. For their heart, they still desire to lord it over the material resources. The Sakama devotees are sometimes disturbed by the demons and Rakshasas, but the Lord is so kind that he always saves them by appearing as an incarnation. The Lord's incarnations are so powerful that Lord Vamanadev covered the entire universe with two steps, and therefore he had no place for his third step. The Lord is called Trivikrama because he showed his strength by delivering the entire universe with merely three steps. The difference between Sakama and Akama devotees is that when Sakama devotees, like the demigods, fall into difficulty, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief. Whereas Akama devotees, even in the greatest danger, never disturb the Lord for material benefits. Even if an Akama devotee is suffering, he thinks this is due to his impious activities and agrees to suffer the consequences. He never disturbs the Lord. Sakama devotees immediately pray to the Lord as soon as they're in difficulty, but they are regarded as pious because they consider themselves fully independent on the mercy of the Lord, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. Tatenukampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapubir vidadan vinamaste jivedayo mukti pade sadayabak. Even while suffering in the midst of difficulties, devotees simply offer their prayers and service more enthusiastically. In this way, they become firmly fixed in the devotional service and eligible to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Sakama devotees, of course, achieve from the Lord the results they desire from their prayers, but they do not immediately become fit to return to Godhead. It's been noted herein that Lord Vishnu and his various incarnations is always the protector of his devotees. Srila Madhvacharya says, Vividam bhava patra tvat sarve vishnur vibhutayaha. Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. All other incarnations proceed from Lord Vishnu. Here is the difference between neophyte devotees and at least Madhyama Adhikari devotees. That Kanisha Adhikari devotees, they're full of desire. And at the same time, they approach Krishna to fulfill their desire. Therefore, they're classified as Chatur Vida Bhajante Mam Janasukritina Arjuna Arta Jignasi Aratarati Gyani Chavaratar Shiva. The neophytes in the mode of ignorance, they're in distress. Generally, distress in the material world is caused by breaking the regular principles, that is, unrestricted sense gratification. When one approaches Krishna and chants Hare Krishna, then one gets, hopefully at least, enough spiritual strength to follow the four regular principles. And by following the four regular principles, the major source of hankering and lamentation is diminished, and therefore one feels some relief from distress. Distress is either due to not following the regular principles or the results of not following the regular principles, such as disease. And when one becomes somewhat purified by the chanting Hare Krishna and feels less distress, then one's motivation becomes to get material comfort, to have a better material existence. Therefore, eating properly and even having enough intelligence to chew one's food is a great advancement in material life. Most people don't even have the intelligence that they're supposed to chew their food. So this is a blessing from chanting Hare Krishna. If one is actually trying to chant Hare Krishna and moves one's mouth and tongue while one is doing it. Otherwise, shnik, shnik, ram, ram, there's no practice in even moving the tongue and the lips and the teeth when one is chanting. But if one is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, then the tongue and the teeth and the lips are working, and one is prepared to eat prasadam at least. One becomes qualified. To actually not only taste prasadam, but even feel Krishna's presence in the food. The idea of taking prasadam is not just to devour something, and therefore, as the stomach fills up, it gradually inflates and gets prepared to go back to Godhead. No, it's actually the consciousness that's supposed to be different when we're taking prasadam or chanting Hare Krishna or performing devotional service. And then with that consciousness, one can gradually come closer to something which is like goodness. Appreciate how to breathe. Most people don't even breathe. There's so much anxiety that you don't even breathe. There's air all around them, but they're only taking in, you know, a minuscule amount of it. And how to relate to others. That's also essential for material comfort. If everyone we look at, we're angry at, wishing they disappeared, it's not a very good consciousness for being happy and peaceful. So, Avaisha has a little tinge of passion and some ignorance. But that little passion means that they try to make some improvement in their material existence, unlike those who are simply lamenting all day and falling prey to overeating and oversleeping and unrestricted material desires. And if one actually lives life in a regulated way and feels a little comfortable, then one actually seeks after some higher happiness, because then one still won't be satisfied. Because without Krishna, without feeling Krishna consciousness, we're always feeling that there's something missing. Prabhupada gives the example, just like the child, little baby, if you put it into someone else's lap, they're not very happy. Only when they come back to their mother's lap do they actually feel satisfied. So unless we're actually with Krishna, because right now we have no idea what it's like to be with Krishna. We can only imagine what it's like to be with Krishna, which is good also. It's a better imagination than other things. But we have no idea the amount of happiness, the amount of love, the amount of pleasure that's experienced when one is even a little bit in relation with Krishna. In any case, without being in contact with Krishna, no one can feel actually satisfied. And without feeling satisfied, one will always look for something better. So, after feeling a little comfortable in the material world, one is satisfied that today I'm going to get something to eat, and I'm going to chew it, and actually I'm going to get some benefit from the eating. My material health will improve, my material consciousness will improve. If I live life in a intelligent, human-like way. And then after that, one becomes inquisitive. Is there something higher than that? And of course, we have to be inquisitive from the right source. Nowadays, even if someone is, like nowadays in the material world, there's so many health movements. Everywhere you go, people are practicing yoga. There's at least so many yoga studios. They're exercising their body. Vegetarianism is not considered strange anymore. When I first became a vegetarian in 1968, people were wondering, how many weeks have you been a vegetarian? Because they would think after a few weeks you'd give it up. It was considered so abnormal, except for some crazy people on microbiotics or something like that. People had taken so many drugs they didn't know what they were eating anymore. In any case, now being a vegetarian is not considered normal, but in many circles it's considered to be, unless you're a vegan, you're considered a demon. Oh my God, look at that. He's about to drink a glass of milk. Stop him. Call the police. So, at least people have come to that level to some extent, but there's something higher. But generally speaking, there's no one to acquire from anything higher than that. But fortunately, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, and there is something higher, that is to become inquisitive about what is actually the purpose of life. Brahma Jignasya. Atartho Brahma Jignasya. That's when the human form of life actually begins. And one has to acquire from those who know what the purpose of life is. And the purpose of life, minimum, is moksha. Get out of the material concept of life. Without trying to get out of the material concept of life, then there is absolutely no progress in human form of life. Human life has only one advantage, that one can get out of the material concept of life. Otherwise, it's considered a complete failure, and eventually one will enter into the lower species. So what is dharma, what is kama, what is artha, what is moksha? This can be learned in the human form of life. And if one tries the moksha, then one may become situated actually in the mode of goodness and experience freedom from distress and ultimately real knowledge about oneself as being a spiritual soul, which is the only valuable information in this world. Everything else is superficial. Although there's Gona Bhakti, there may be knowledge which may be helpful in our quest, during our quest for liberation, so that we're most prepared to practice devotional service by especially keeping good health and having a balanced mind. So this is all within the material realm. Even realizing what I'm not, that I'm not this body, doesn't mean I know who I am. If I'm walking around all day long thinking I am, you know, Napoleon, it's a very bad sign. If suddenly, you know, by good association, I realize I'm not Napoleon, it's a sign of progress. but it's not the ultimate progress. I still don't know who I am. At least I found out who I'm not. So real progress begins with Itareta Dineshu, Belisheshu Dutwatsucha, Prema Maitri Kripo Peka, Yat Karoti Samadhyamaha. Then when we actually identify ourselves as Gopi Bharata Parakamalayar, Dasa Dasa Anudasa, when we actually identify ourselves as a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then real devotional service begins. Now, to keep that consciousness is called nishtha. But devotional service, generally, we say begins at initiation. It's not that we haven't done any devotional service before initiation. It means that at initiation, we're supposed to identify ourselves now as a servant of the servant of Krishna. If we don't identify ourselves at the point of initiation as a servant of the servant of Krishna and take that seriously, and begin to practice life in that consciousness, then initiation has no meaning. It's just changing from one designation to another. Or maybe not even changing, just having a nice nickname. So at that point when I'm actually thinking myself to be the servant of the servant of Krishna, then the question is, how am I going to serve Ishvara? So that's with prema. To give up motivation and mental speculation that we find we're struggling with as Kanishadakaris, that I need some material benefit to be happy, or I have to find out how to become materially successful, get out of the material miseries of life, how to avoid all kinds of problems. So when one gives up that and simply works to please Krishna, prema, then that's called prema. And to please Krishna means that Krishna is not only as the deity in the altar, but he's everywhere. So how to cooperate with Krishna's devotees, because those are the ones who are right before us, how to cooperate with them and exchange, ultimately loving exchanges with them, because that's the whole idea of bhakti is love. There's no liberation without love. Love for Krishna, and love for Krishna is extended to the devotees too. Because they're also instruments for Krishna, and therefore they're, in one sense, non-different from Krishna. But we just don't love the devotees. That's not the mission of Krishna, just so everyone sits around and holds hands all day long. There's a mission he has, that is to help the innocent people become devotees. Because we're all, in one sense, innocent to some extent, and therefore we're helping each other become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, what is the need of these classes? If everyone's Krishna conscious, why we have to talk about philosophy? Everyone knows everything already. Oh yeah, I heard that a million times. Now he's going to tell me I'm not this body. Oh wow, how boring. And now he's going to throw something else in. Oh, Krishna is God. Oh yeah, I heard that one too. As if we realize the whole philosophy, and therefore these unimportant facts like we're not this body and Krishna's God. You know, why should they bother hearing these things? I already know them. I know everything. So, to cooperate with the devotees means not only to engage in loving exchanges, but to actually help spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Because that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Become devotees and make others into devotees too. Now there is a certain class of people who actually made it their business not to become devotees. So we waste our time with them, then we're wasting Krishna's time. Krishna is trying to give us intelligence who not to approach. Therefore he says, Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya na kachana na cha shushushave vacham na cha mam vyovyasuyati. Those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, or to the one who's envious of me, don't waste your time. Because Prabhupada writes that sometimes the devotees, they try to make these people into devotees, but we should know what our ability is. It's like you're on the street And someone says, no, I don't want the book. No, no, take the book. No, I don't want it. No, no, take the book. Meanwhile, 15 people just passed by who were looking for the Bhagavad Gita. We just wasted our time trying to convince someone who has made it their business not to be convinced. What to speak of, they're actively working against Krishna. We've made it our business to try to make them devotees. Why? Probably out of some false prestige. See how powerful I am. I made three demons devotees today. Lord Nityananda only made two. I made three. So we should look for the people who are receptive and try to avoid people who just want to waste our time, and we'll be wasting their time too. At the end of the conversation, they just become angry. Before they didn't like the devotees, and now they hate the devotees. Some Christian, meat-eating Christian, you try to convince him that actually Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not kill, and that's the last thing in the world I wanted to hear. You're trying to convince them that their acharya tell them to do something that they're refusing to do. So what's the result is? Do they become vegetarians? No, they want to eat you. So one has to learn the science of devotional service and see whether we're actually engaged in devotional service. Not that now I have a new name, or now I'm aspiring for a new name, and therefore at the time of initiation, all my sinful reactions will be dissipated, I'll have a blank slate, and I can start all over again doing sinful activities. Or now I'm liberated, I'll hang out in devotional service as long as I can, so at the time of death, Garuda will come with my spiritual master and Lord Vishnu and take me out of the ocean of birth and death. No matter what I've done, somehow or another, he has to do it, or else he'll be in trouble too. So that kind of idea of what initiation is for, or the progress, or the process of devotional service is just imagination. Although for the neophyte, the idea that one's sinful activities will be eradicated at the time of initiation may be inspiring to them, but in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, what does he say? In this world, there is nothing so pure and sublime as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who has achieved this result enjoys the self within himself in due course of time. Actually, I was looking for another verse, two verses before that. No, that's the one I just quoted. Nahigana inda sadvi pavitra. No, the two verses before that one. In this world, if one is considered apichad, sapebya papakriti maha sarvam gana plane vaiva vrijinam santarishasi. Even if you consider the most sinful of all sinners, if you're situated on the boat of transcendental knowledge, then you'll easily be able to cross over the ocean of material misery. So Krishna although the verses before that are about initiation, but what is initiation? It's the transference of divya jnana to todayat. It's the transference of transcendental knowledge. It's the transcendental knowledge that frees us from sinful activities. Not simply taking initiation. Initiation is to develop the mentality to become receptive to the transcendental knowledge. And thus we think we're the servants of Krishna's servants, then we won't hear a transcendental knowledge and serve it. So it's the service of the transcendental knowledge, not only from those who are giving us initiation, but for anyone who's actually in that line of the succession, giving us Krishna's knowledge. And if we take that knowledge in the service attitude, with a service attitude, then Krishna becomes pleased and he reveals himself. And in the presence of Krishna, we become purified. There's no purification without becoming Krishna conscious. It's not that we become purified and then we realize Krishna. It's as we realize Krishna, we become purified. And to realize Krishna, we have to attain transcendental knowledge. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything should be utilized for Krishna. And we should do our service according to what's authorized to please Krishna. So, our whole society is based on authority, and there's whole lines of authority. Those who are repeating the words coming into simple succession appropriately, there are authorities, and we serve those with the proper attitude, then we become, Krishna reveals himself when he sees our sincerity. That's called Tesham Eva Nukamparata Mahama Jnana Chamtamaha. So, the devotee, his knowledge is broad. He sees how Krishna is present, especially in the heart of the devotees, and he serves the mission of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his advanced devotees and the association of devotees, trying to help distribute Krishna consciousness amongst themselves and amongst the innocent people. Then one is actually able to make some progress. If one is working on that platform, Krishna helps one make progress by giving the proper understanding. And when one works at that proper understanding, then Krishna becomes pleased and one becomes conscious of Krishna by revelation. Other than that, one remains a Sakama devotee. We may work and try to get some material benefit from our service, and that's not bad, because at least we're approaching the right person, but we may not realize material. Material doesn't mean just gross materialist. It means we're just happy having a comfortable life or a pleasant life or accept, but we're not anxious to become conscious of Krishna or to serve his mission. We're just hoping that eventually my whole material life will become perfect and I won't need Hare Krishna anymore. All this botheration of sitting there trying to chant, listen, when my mind is agitated and my real purpose is I would just want to go to sleep, but I got to go through this austerity. For some reason, I don't know why, but the sooner I get free from this horrible chanting, the happier I become. My only happiness is to watch my counterbeats fall down. So such a mentality will not really, we're not taking advantage of the great opportunity we have. But anyhow, at least better to struggle with chanting than to not struggle at all. Even if one is struggling to tread water in the ocean of material misery to avoid sinking, that's better than just sinking into it. But in any case, we should get enough transcendental knowledge so that we actually are able to serve Krishna in varieties of circumstances properly for his pleasure and therefore make actual progress towards spiritual life. Otherwise, we may be thinking we're making progress, but it may not be exactly the progress that we need to go back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Our professional questionnaire.
Pretty much how you said that we become purified as we realize Krishna and not realize Krishna as we become purified. And I wanted to ask, could you maybe speak about to the progression of realizations of Krishna? Are there different progressive steps and maybe either revelations of realizing Krishna or gaining taste in devotional service from the earliest stage to the highest stage, or what are the stages of realization?
Well, you've heard that before. Adal sharatata sarasanga tyabhad nakriya anarta niriti syat. But that in the first is some faith. Krishna bhakti kaila sava karma krita hai. That real faith means to be vishvasvakore, sruvidhanis chai, strong faith in Krishna. So then we associate with the devotees and we hear about Krishna and we practice bhajana kriya. Now in bhajana kriya, the narta nivritti anishtata bhajana kriti, to come to anishtata bhajana kriti, the main anartha and aparad we have to get free are the four, the fences against nama parad. And of those, it means we chant and we listen, which is quite austere at the beginning, because we're in this age where everything has to come immediately. If it doesn't come immediately, we just give it up and go for something that's quicker. So we chant here, and what are you saying? I'm not in ecstasy. I've actually chanted, and I've actually heard the Hare Krishna mantra. It took me an hour and a half, but I've actually heard it. And it's nothing happened. What's going on? And then we keep on chanting, and we're wondering what's going to happen. Well, keep on chanting, and eventually what will happen is you might remember Krishna, which is quite unique. After all, as I said before, we can chant Mickey Mouse, and it's more likely we're going to see the form of a mouse within our mind. There's no big thing if you chant Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, then there's no big thing if you remember them. But if you chant Hare Krishna and you remember Krishna, you think, wow, I'm a pure devotee. I'm on the highest level of transcendental realization. But what will happen if we keep on chanting and reading Prabhupada's books and serving Krishna throughout the day is that when we chant Hare Krishna, we'll actually remember Krishna. And then the next thing is, if the remembrance becomes more consistent, then we might actually feel his presence. We might actually see the difference between remembering Krishna, experience the difference between remembering Krishna and his associates, and remember other things. Then the result is, and from that point, then when we can chant, when spontaneously remember Krishna's forms, when we chant Hare Krishna and his associates, then when it becomes a little bit more intense and consistent, then we get something called ruchi. We can feel Krishna's presence. And then after ruchi develops, then the taste becomes so nice that our minds just gravitates towards remembering Krishna all the time. We want to chant all the time. And when it becomes very consistent and intense, then we start actually feeling attraction for some of Krishna's activities. And then we start realizing that actually that has something to do with my actual spiritual identity. That's why I gravitate towards. And then one actually can actually feel oneself involved in Krishna's pastimes, one actually has the feeling towards certain pastimes, then one enters gradually into the stage of bhava. And at the stage of bhava, as that experience intensifies, then one actually can experience oneself as a spiritual body and enter actually into Krishna's pastimes in that body at the beginning stages of prema. And then the higher stages of devotional service develop. Is that clear? But if we try to jump, oh, I don't have taste. Oh, let me just artificially remember Krishna. Then we're just trying to force Krishna to come. We're trying to force Krishna. Krishna, I'm going to break your arm unless you reveal yourself to me. It's not exactly love. It won't be very fruitful. That melting of the heart, the softening of the heart, the dependence on Krishna, that feeling of, can't living without Krishna, without Krishna's mercy, being dependent on Krishna, that has to develop gradually. So for most of us, we just have to chant and listen and try to give up all these disturbing thoughts, not take them seriously. As if, unless I'm disturbed, the whole world will fall apart. Or by my being disturbed, I'm helping so many people. All this misconception. As if I'm too peaceful and happy, then everyone's going to become very disturbed. So one has to give that up. Anything else? Yes.
In the purport, there was that demigods are always dependent on Krishna where there are some difficulties. And this is Sakama. And then there are Akama who are just enduring the difficulties themselves. And that was considered, as I understood, better. So how does these two go together? Regarding you were saying just now that we have to become dependent.
dependent on Krishna's mercy, not solving our material problems. Unless Krishna reveals himself to us, how can we be happy? Unless we have Krishna's association, then how can we actually be happy? That kind of dependence. Or as Krishna says, in all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection, and such devotional service be fully conscious of me. So that protection means the protection of the internal energy. So no matter what's happening externally for a pure devotee, as long as he's under the protection of the internal energy, he's not disturbed. Of course, for ourselves, we should try to come under the protection of the internal energy of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. But if there's some danger, most of us, we want Krishna to take care of it, because we're not exactly free from the material concept of life. So that's try to become a work on the transcendental platform as much as possible. But it's normal to take shelter of Krishna, and better to take shelter of Krishna if there's some problem. Therefore, Prabhupada said, you can go up to Gaura Nithai or Panchatattva and say, my dear Gaura Nithai, this is my difficulty. They're better to approach. Akama savakama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham para. That whether one is full of desire or has no desire or desires liberation, still one should take shelter of Krishna. So we should be more or less honest. So not that actually I'm in complete anxiety, but I got to act externally as if I'm a great devotee, and therefore I'm not going to ask Krishna to help me. Although, you know, this rascal Krishna, he should have helped me anyhow. What is he doing? He's asleep at the wheel. Wake him up. I know it's Chaturmasya, but he shouldn't sleep so much. Should help be helping me. No, we feel we have to take shelter of Krishna, and that way we should. And then gradually, as our absorption in the spiritual energy becomes more intense, we won't notice these problems. They won't be seen as big problems, so why should we bother Krishna with them? But that depends upon how absorbed we are in the spiritual energy, how we're going to perceive how big our problems are. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.